Thanks, David, for that nice introduction. Has been long suffering over many years. The grace of God, isn't it great? This morning's very special. As David has mentioned, this is an opportunity for us as a Christian community, as a church, to honour and pay our respects to our men and women of Australia who have served in our armed forces. And as we know, Anzac Day is very much about World War I and what the men and women of our armed forces did during that time, during the First World War, when they landed on the beaches of Gallipoli. I may not be aware, but the casualty rate from that particular campaign was quite severe. And so when we understand, when we throw numbers out, well, okay, so there was 8,000 Australian soldiers killed on a little tiny stretch of beach, no more than like a 4-kilometre radius. So 8,000 men died. On average, there was 1,000 men died a month. That's just men killed in action. And then there were others that were evacuated because of sickness and their wounds, and that numbered several thousand. So when we put that into perspective, and then we go on to World War II, and we have another, you know, 40, 50,000 men and women of the armed forces who died in the Second World War, and so on, the Korean War, Vietnam War, and more recent conflicts, peacekeeping operations in Afghanistan, you could fill a football stadium. So when we put that into perspective, we understand the gratitude that they deserve and the honour they deserve, not just only themselves, but their families, as Brooke mentioned, in communion, and the sacrifice that they made, and the mothers and the fathers that gave their sons and daughters to the nation so we could stand here today and be free. And that is a reality. When you look back in history and look what they were fighting against and what they were fighting for. And so today we honour and pay our respects to our men and women of the armed forces, those who have served in the past, and those also who are serving today. So we say thank you to them. Thank you for your service. Thank you for your sacrifice. And thank you for their families. And Lord, I'd just like to pray this morning for our veterans. I wasn't planning to do this, but I just felt prompted by the Holy Spirit to pray because our veterans need healing, as Brooke alluded to this morning. And the traumatic impact and of post-traumatic stress and other stresses of war and impact on those individuals is long-lasting. And they really need the grace of God and the healing to take place in their lives. So if you join me in prayer this morning, I'd like to pray and then I'll begin my message. Father, I just thank you for this opportunity to stand before you and honour our men and women of our armed forces that have given their lives in past conflicts, for those who are currently serving overseas and those who have gone on to be with the Lord or actually passed on. Father, we pray for their families, the ones that grieve, the ones that are left behind. Father, we pray for those who have been affected by war. We pray for those who are still recovering from those wounds, not necessarily physical scars, but spiritual and mental scars. We just pray for your healing touch to be upon them all. Whether they're sitting at home in front of the television watching this morning, we pray that your Holy Spirit will come upon them and even touch them while they're sitting in their rooms or watching this service, that your healing will begin to take place in their lives. And we pray, Father, that you set the captives free. In Jesus' name. Amen. My message this morning is titled, Going the Extra Mile. It's taken from the book of Matthew, chapter 5, verse 41. Whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him 2. And this is all relating to the story of the Roman soldiers. They were allowed by law, the Roman law, when they were occupying Israel, to compel anyone that's passing by to carry their equipment when they're on the march. So it's about carrying their burden, relieving of their burden and carrying the baggage. So I'm setting this in context of our personal lives as Christians that we carry baggage. So Jesus wants to take that baggage from us. So we're going to talk about that this morning. And one of the key factors in this area is resentment. Because resentment stops us from serving. It actually stops us and hinders us from actually going the extra mile and carrying someone else's burden, carrying someone else's equipment. And so that's the context of this message this morning that I'm going to be sharing with you and drawing some parallels to what that looks like as in a soldier context. So does the act of going the extra mile play in our lives? Sorry, does the act of going the extra mile come into play in our daily lives as Christians? The challenge is to serve others in our workplace, at home with our family members, and sometimes even to total strangers. Let's look at the example that Jesus taught his disciples about going the extra mile, with some reflections of what the extra mile looks like in the context of being a soldier. Just setting the context, in the preceding verses of verses 38 and 40, Jesus is teaching his disciples how not to resist an evil person, but serve them with generosity. In the context of surrendering, Jesus is teaching disciples how to respond to unfair or unjust treatment. If someone slaps you in the face, Jesus said, offer them your other cheek. If someone sues you for your inner garment, just give it to them, along with your outer garment. Then he leaves the best to last. Whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too. This particular verse refers to the practice of Jewish citizens being ordered by the Roman soldiers to carry their equipment whilst on the march. This statement by Jesus was highly controversial, as in Jesus' time, Israel was occupied by the Romans, who had passed a law that Roman soldiers could compel Jewish citizens to carry their equipment. Jesus was teaching his disciples the art of passive resistance in the act of service and sacrifice, shocking their antagonist with their generosity. I think that most Jews could manage to do the first two of those acts of generosity. But this was different. It was an affront to their dignity and their pride, as they hated the Romans and all they stood for. It was humiliating and degrading to have to carry the Roman soldiers' baggage. It was an affront to their nationalistic pride. To actively choose to carry the Roman soldiers' equipment an extra mile was a massive challenge to their cultural sensitivities. In relating the disciples' experience of what Jesus was teaching and what it meant for them in real terms, can you imagine putting yourself in their shoes and relating to their feelings and emotions in going the extra mile? And I'm just going to share with you a little story relating to this. Can you imagine, put yourselves in, this is everyone here, including myself, in our daily lives, we're on this journey, okay? We're walking along the road of life, and someone comes along and very inconveniently asks us to do something for them. And so we feel, possibly some of us would go, yep, okay, I can do that, I can go mow your lawn or something. Others would think, darn, I want to watch the football. I've got a dilemma. What do I do? Make a decision? Or I'll go, but I feel a bit resentful because I'm going to miss the football game. But yeah, all right, I'll go and mow the lawn for that person. So this is the context. I want you to use your imagination, and I'm sure the Holy Spirit's going to prompt you with things that he wants to deal with in your lives or things that you've encountered. So I'm saying this very gracefully because for the past 3 weeks, I've been dealing with this, and God has been putting the finger in my life on these typical areas of my own life where I struggle to serve and to go the extra mile for other people. So I'm speaking from first-hand experience. It's been quite an intense 3 weeks. I've been preparing this message. So I've been going through the mill. And my family have been seeing, hopefully, the fruit of it. So it's not a harsh word this morning, okay? I was very conscious as I'm preparing this message. I don't want to leave you all thinking that you're all terrible sinners and, oh gosh, we've got so much work to do. Well, if you live with me and my family have done that, then you realise that it is the grace of God and it's going to take some time and practice, Okay, so this is where we're at. So I'm just being very nice and caring this morning, not just hammering you so you all feel depressed when you walk out the door. Okay, so this is the country road. Okay, so this, put yourself in this story. Use your imagination and come into the story with me. Can you imagine that you're walking along a country road, minding your own business, okay? You come over a rise in the road, and just your luck, okay? They're coming to you, coming towards you as a Roman patrol. Your heart sinks. There's no one to, nowhere to turn or hide. You're totally exposed. They see you, and a soldier calls out, "Hey, Jew, it's my lucky day. You can carry my equipment for a mile." Resentment starts to rise. You might feel angry towards that soldier, angry at yourself, muttering to yourself, "Why me? If I'd been a minute later or walked slowly, someone else would have had to carry the soldier's baggage." You're tired. You're really hating life, because you only had a kilometre to go before you reached your destination. Now, you not only have to turn around and go back from where you came from, but you have to carry that heavy baggage that belongs to the Roman soldier that you despise, and then to make matters worse, you have to walk further to reach your destination. Hands up if that's ever happened to anybody in this room. Does that happen to us in our daily lives? Yeah. Do we feel the same way as a poor Jewish traveller? Or can we turn the whole situation around with a good attitude and say, "Okay, everything in me is rearing up. I'll put my hand up. But help me, Jesus, die to my emotions. Help me to be gracious and go the extra mile without being resentful." What does it look like when we don't feel like serving others? What do? We feel resentful and being asked to do something we don't like doing. What do we do with our emotions and thoughts when we are tired and fatigued? When we're not at our best as we struggle to serve? We all have triggers. Put us in the right setting and we often react and are unable to control our emotions. No one is at the best all the time. I think Jesus is the only one in the room. We miss the mark and sometimes we react in an ungodly or ugly way to our family members and friends. Laying down our lives for our friends is more than the physical act of helping someone. It's doing the act of service with a grateful heart. It is in the act of dying to self, dying to resentment that rears up in us when we ask to serve others. Does all this sound familiar? It certainly does for me. I have had my own struggles in this area of serving others and going the extra mile. One of them, I think, is a classic. If you have children and have babies, who likes changing babies' nappies? I did. So, you can always pie pass a baby when you smell a nappy. Hoping just like that Jewish guy that someone else will do it. No one in this room's had that experience, only me. What about at work? You go to go and get a cup of coffee and the kitchen's a mess. No one's cleaning it. Guess what? You open the fridge and you go to get the milk out. No milk. How do you feel? And do you feel resentful for that other person who didn't do their job and go and get the milk, but they're on the roster, okay? Because you have a roster at work, you know, to someone's got to go and get the milk. And so how do we feel? That's not my job. I'm not doing it. I can't have my cup of tea. I'll walk off and someone else can do it. It's the 1%ers. In the army, we call them 1%. It's the 1% of things that you walk past that Jesus wants to pay really close attention to because it reflects your character. Wow. Yes. So I'm going to develop that. You're going to really enjoy this. So, moving along. So, the triggers. You know, we're not always at our best, are we? I can serve if I'm in a good mood. I'm opening my exposing myself here this morning to the whole world. But I can serve very well when I'm in a good mood. When I like doing something, oh yeah, sure, I'll jump in, I'll do that. But if it's something I don't like doing, or I'm not in a good mood, or I'm not at my best, that's when I struggle. And that's when the feelings of resentment come out. Especially when it comes to family members. Anyone feel that one? Yeah. Okay. I've got to laugh. What I appreciate from Jesus' teaching in Matthew 5 and verse 41 is that we may be called upon to serve others at any time, even when we least expect it. That's the story of the guy coming over the rise of the hill and someone out of the blue wrecks your day because they want you to do something for them. And you go, oh, what did they, oh, it could have been someone else. What did I rock up to church 5 minutes too early? Someone else could have been standing at the door, cleaned the toilets. So, there we are. That's the emotion. That's what we want to be. But you know what? Jesus wants us to be ready in and out of season. We're not going to be always on our game at our best when we're asked to serve. Something happens in our day, and it's challenging. And sometimes I've missed the mark, and I've walked away going, oh, why did I do that? Why didn't I get up and serve that person? You know? So there's more to this than just me, okay? There's no I in team. So that's another one that we say in the army. But there's hope for us all. And I speak for myself. We are, with God's help, able to overcome resentment that we may have to serve and be served. Jesus wants us to be ready in and out of season, whether it's convenient or not, whether we are ready or not, and whether we like doing the job or not. Jesus wants us ready. He wants us to be a good example to those around us. He wants us to shock them into the kingdom of God with our willingness to serve and be generous in going the extra mile. Jesus wants us to come to him and hand over our sinful nature to die to the flesh, so that people can see Jesus in us and say, oh, is that what Jesus looks like? That's what it's all about. Yeah. So what? Wow, is that what Jesus looks like? But in saying this, and thank you, Alan, for pointing it out to me, but how do we do it? I've been doing this for years. To help us overcome the selfishness, which is at the center of resentment, we have to discipline ourselves to serve and be willing to acknowledge that we are selfish. The breakthrough comes from recognizing in yourself that I have an issue and be willing to surrender to God your own desire and emotions. This may take some practice, but God's grace will help you unlearn this pattern of behavior. Your partner, children and family members are the ones that bear the burden of our character flaws, and they love you enough to put up with you. It is in the process of discipleship that we are set free by our burdens. It is for the love of God that we change. It is by his grace that we are able, bit by bit, to overcome the strongholds in our lives. We are being transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. It is a lifelong journey. Brooke can put her hand up. Long suffering. Where we have to be gracious to ourselves in this process. And we have to be gracious to others. Because I struggle with resentment. Why do I feel resentful for someone else for being resentful? We have to take responsibility in laying our lives down for our friends and not to be resentful. Jesus is very interested in seeing us having the breakthrough in our lives so that we can have more of an impact for the kingdom of God and not be held back by our sinful nature or held back in reaching our full potential for God. That is the key. that I want to leave. If anything you take away from this morning, it's about dying to yourself so you can reach the your full potential for God. Because this is holding us back. And I've been walking and living this. And God has been revealing this to me over the last few weeks. And with the grace of God, you know, I'm getting better at it. I can't say I've completely mastered it, but the grace of God, I'm getting better at it. Because it's a lifelong journey. And it's a process of going to Him and saying, Lord, I know when I'm in this situation or when I have to do something that I don't like doing, please help me not to be resentful. It's when we get that aha moment and we suddenly realize when you put into a certain situation or you have to go and do something, whatever it is, washing the dishes, changing the nappy for the 200th time, you know what it is, because I know what mine are, okay? I know what my triggers are. So when I get into that situation and I start to feel that resentment building up in me because I'm serving or I'm making a cup of tea, right? But I'm only happy to make one cup of tea. This is how a great servant I am, right? So if other people ask me to make different cups of tea from the one that I want to make for that person, and they're all putting their orders in, all of a sudden, I don't know why, but I start to get resentful. And other people will be looking at me going, what's wrong with you? And I'm going, after a while, I suddenly realised, why does this happen? But you often find that it happens every time you make a cup of tea. But or do something that really bugs you, right? And you just sit there, I'm not making 20,000 cups of tea. You feel like just walking off and get it yourself. But hey, I'm being honest. So it's okay. You can ask me to make you a cup of tea. And all of you can do it, so it builds my character. That wasn't in the message. Anyway. So that's the process, okay? So it's one, hello, is there something in my life that I need to deal with? Okay, God, put your hand on it. Okay, if it keeps coming up recurring, could be a person that annoys you, could be something at work, that, you know, something at home, no one empties the rubbish bin, you come home from work and the rubbish bin's full and you have this massive resentment because they've all been home all day and they have done nothing. I don't know if anyone's experienced that. Yeah. Whatever rocks, you know, ticks your flick or whatever rocks your boat, you know, that's what you've got to deal with. So you go, okay, God, so what I had to do, because I've got to practice this now because I'm preaching to you lot, I've got to live this. So I've got to do it. And that's the thing. You've got to do it. Because I know there's something wrong in me that's not right. And I've got to push through in God's grace and nail this. And then Brooke will say, hallelujah, you know. So, the resentment, it has to go, okay? God's putting his finger on it. Well, me, I'm preaching at myself this morning. So, God's putting his finger on this in my area of my life. But he really wants that to come across to the body of Christ as well. Because this is not a message just for me. It's a message that God has put in my heart to share with you, using me as an example, okay? So, how do we do that? It has to go. The resentment has to go. And then we pray and ask God, even when it comes to individual, like when it's not cups of tea aside, when it counts as relationships and families and whatever life and workmates and things like that, we really need to pray and ask God to help me love that person. You know? It sometimes they're hard to love. And, even if they're annoying me, you know, I have to die to myself. I have to stop myself reacting and responding to that emotion. It's the self-discipline of that, the practice of it, that enables us to overcome it with God's grace. Yeah. So in the context of soldiers, in the context of going to war, training for battle, etc., in the military culture, selfishness is not tolerated. If you're a selfish soldier, then they have an expression in the military called you're being jack on your mates. You're not pulling your weight, you're lazy, or you don't want to do it, So, you know, you walk past the 1%, you walk past of not picking up the ammunition box when it's empty and then carrying it over. So in the military context, everything they do, and some things of soldiering, is quite brutal. It's harsh, it's physical, it's fatiguing. And it's through the training and the discipline they are taught to instinctively die to self. Put that across into our own Christian world, and that principle alone is very powerful. It is powerful. So it's the instinct to not, through training and practice and the grace of God, it's the instinct of reacting. So when next time I go to make a cup of tea, okay, I'm in a space where that level of resentment is just here. But every time I do that cup of tea, and I'm sure they're going to test me when I get home, I'm setting myself up really nicely here. When you get to make that next cup of tea, I am now conscious of that sense of resentment rearing up. I have an awareness of it now. So I know it's my responsibility to say to the Lord, Father, I don't want this anymore. I'm handing it over to you. And I just ask for your grace and help to make me be able to push through and not let that resentment dominate me. Because the impact of that is flowing on to the rest of the family. And everyone around you starts to feel uncomfortable because you're resentful. So your resentfulness is not necessarily what God desires for you to have, to walk around with. So everyone around you, as you're walking around, can see your countenance has changed. And it has an impact spiritually on the people that you interact with or the environment that you're working in. Because what did God say to Cain when he killed Abel? And he came across him again when he had already murdered his brother. And he said to him, why is your countenance fallen? So God knew exactly what was happening because he could see that Cain's countenance had changed. He'd hardened his heart or become resentful to his brother, and it changed his whole personality. So in the context of soldiering, coming back to that, soldiers have to die to themselves, because if they don't, people around them could actually die, because if they're not disciplined and paying attention to what they're doing or in their training to prepare for war, then their friends, through their mistakes, could actually be killed. And so there's no tolerance for people being resentful or not doing their roles and jobs properly. And selfishness is not tolerated. Does it mean that the soldiers are perfect? They don't have an issue with going the extra miles so the mission can be achieved? Oh, of course they do. It's in their self-discipline of getting ready to go to war that they're able to overcome their own selfish emotions. In the army, there is no I in team. They are literally expected to lay their lives down for their friends and die to their own physical or emotional needs. It is in the self-discipline and training that we as Christians can be ready as well. It is in the mundane routine of daily living that we're being transformed into the image of Christ. Soldiers just don't arrive on the battlefield ready to fight. It takes, in some cases, months or years of training. In reality, only 10% of the army actually engages the enemy face to face. That 10% are infantry soldiers. The rest of the army is trained to support them. It is in the discipline of repetitious training that enables the infantry soldiers and the supporting troops to be a cohesive team working together to defeat the enemy. That's us. Put it in the context of where we are as a church. What are we doing here? We are serving each other, getting ourselves ready so that we can support those who are on the mission field, to support the street chaplains, to support the school chaplains, to support anybody that's doing ministry in anything and anything. It's not about us. The impact of this and overcoming it is enormous. The liberation and the setting free in yourself as a Christian is powerful. And what I mentioned before was the fact that the act of generosity, even though they were forced to do something they hated, and he was saying to them, go the extra mile, Why? Why did he say that? Because he wanted them to be set free. He wanted them to be liberated from the bondage of the hatred and the sin that's in their lives, to be enabled to be able to pursue something that they could reach out and touch someone they don't love. They don't love that Roman soldier. They hated them. But he was teaching them, and they were just completely, they would have been angry at him. How dare you say that to us? These are the very people that are persecuting us. Why do you do that? It's because it's the act of generosity. It's dying to self to enable to reach out to someone else. And it is the mundane. It is the day-to-day living. It is the little things. The little things that God puts his finger on from day to day in our lives, that he's paying attention to you because he wants the best from you. And he can only get the best from you if you're willing to let it go. If you're willing to give it up. We've got to be able to stand there and say, God, okay, yes, I acknowledge that there are things in my life that I need to deal with. Resentment is just one. It's one that stops us from serving and going the extra mile. It is in that process of discipline and training that your character is formed. This is where the soldiers learn to trust each other and not let their mates down, and practice, practice, and more practice. For us as Christians, it is in the practice of allowing God to work in us and acknowledge that there may be areas in our lives where we are not prepared to go the extra mile and die to ourselves. It is in the practice of dying to self and denying our emotions that enables us to go the extra mile. And it is the practice of dying to oneself that inspires others to do the same. How about that? That's impacting. So what is it all about? Is it really all about me? Not at all. God wants to do a big work in our hearts so he can set us free, so we can go and serve others. And then we can reach out and show the love of Christ to them, sacrificially, when we don't want to. Jesus is waiting and ready on the road of light to take your burdens, which can equate to the heavy load that the Roman soldier had to carry with him. He wants to take that which holds you back and weighs you down, the weight of sin, which resentment is one of many, and anything else we hang on to, which can burden us in getting in the way of being able to show the love of God to those around us and hinders us from going the extra mile. If we just put that scripture up, Matthew 11, please. I'll just read this to you. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That is the key, folks, this morning. That's the last piece of information that I'll leave with you, the words of Jesus. Come to me, all those who are weary. Come to me, all those who are burdened, because I will take that baggage. I will take the weight of what's in that bag as the Roman soldier. And what the illustration that the Holy Spirit revealed to me was that bit by bit, that heavy baggage becomes lighter. And so as we give things over to God, that bag becomes lighter. And so Jesus is that person on the road that's just waiting for you. And as we come along the road, he's waiting. He said, okay, come on, hand that over to me today. I want to take that from you today. You don't need to carry that burden anymore. What is it in our lives that's stopping us from really reaching our full potential in God? And so that's the message of encouragement this morning, is to ask God to help you die to yourself so that we can go the extra mile and serve others. And so that's really what I felt the Holy Spirit put on my heart to share with you this morning, to encourage you. And I'd just like to offer an opportunity this morning to pray for myself in this matter as well. The musicians can come up, thank you. And give us an opportunity just to sit still for a moment and allow the Holy Spirit to do what he wants to do this morning. And I'm just going to then just, when everyone's heads are bowed, I'm just going to ask people if they would like to this morning surrender something to God, to hand some things. And you can do this quietly within yourself. There may be some things that I've shared this morning that might, you know, prompt you to think, oh yeah, I can relate to that. What Alan's journeying through, what Alan's going through. And that's really what I'm here is to show you, the, as Brooke mentioned this morning, that God loves us and he does want the best for us. And he wants us to reach our full potential so that we can reach out and love other people without things hindering us. So this morning, I'm just going to ask now, if people would like prayer, if everyone's heads are bowed, no one looking around, it's a moment of privacy between you and God and the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit just to come, Holy Spirit, just to minister, just to heal the brokenhearted, to heal the wounded, to heal those who have been hurt and disappointed and find it difficult to serve, to go the extra mile because they're walking with the burdens of sin, they're working with the baggage of their wounds, things have happened to them, Father, that are hindering them from reaching out and serving you, to go the extra mile. And if there's anybody in that situation this morning, if you feel comfortable, please raise your hands and then I'll pray for you. Thank you, Jesus. And it could be anything, not just resentment, but something that you know that's happened to you that is a hindrance, that's a blockage for you to reach your full potential in God. So I'll just pray now. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, for your healing touch to come upon them. I thank you for your healing, Lord, that there is the forgiveness, your grace, your love, Lord, will come upon them to set them free. Lord, begin the journey of being liberated and set free from the burdens of sin, from resentment, whatever it is, unforgiveness. You've been hurt, you've been wounded, and it's struggling that stops you from reaching out and being served. It stops people reaching out to you. Thank you, Lord, your love and your healing will come and replace and heal them and set them free. And Lord, give them the grace and the strength, just like me, to Lord, to be able to remember when it starts to happen, that they can reach out and say, God, I don't want to be like this anymore. I need your help. So, Father, we just thank you for your ministry of your Holy Spirit this morning. We thank you for ministering to the people in this congregation, also the people at home. And, Father, we give you thanks for what your message this morning and reaching out to us. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Praise you, Jesus.